हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so basically this is being studied from the point of view is that there's the natural understanding of the living entity when he is in his constitutional position. So that living entity then understands things as they are. When one comes into the material environment, then the tendency is that one creates one's own idea, one's own philosophy. But because we're dealing with the modes of nature, your choices are within those modes. You know, it's just like you go to the market, you can buy whatever you want, but you can only buy what's in the market. So, therefore, then there are six ways that you can look at the Veda conclusion. Right? You have a term called hermeneutics. So hermeneutics means that what is your method of interpretation. How do you interpret the verses that are given so that you always see them in the same light, same way? Otherwise, then what will happen is that if you don't have a common system, you won't have a consistent philosophy. So that's what will make the Vedic mundane systems more scientific than modern mundane systems, because they have a method of interpretation, so they always see everything from that point of view. Right? Of course, because the point of view is mundane, it will have a weakness somewhere. Main weakness is it's not connected to the Lord, it's atheistic, not recognizing the Lord. But, and because of that, there are certain things of Krishna being the supreme controller and enjoyer, which won't be reflected in that philosophy. But only when you accept Krishna as the supreme enjoyer and supreme controller does your life work. So they will have some concept of restriction and good activity. Right? But at the same time, is you'll be rewarded for that good activity with some kind of enjoyment. Right? You'll either get, sensual, emotional satisfaction, or you'll get the satisfaction of being freed from material entanglement. Does this make sense? So they leave the idea of being the controller enjoyer in place, and at the same time, what are the anomalies? Try to work out the anomalies, because we're not the controller and enjoyer. There is the supreme controller and enjoyer, and he sets the rules. So how we follow, and so without following his rules, we can't be successful. So then one has to, if one wants to be successful, one actually has to follow God's rules. But if you're an atheist or some way atheistically polluted, then the tendency is you will want to make some adjustments. Does this make some sense? What's going on? So what we're describing is mundane philosophy. It'll always fall, as we discussed before, into two categories. Into karma and into jnana. Means every philosophy, every religion will fit into these. Except the transcendent, eternal religion. Sanatana Dharma doesn't fit into these. But everything else does. So that means you're doing work and then you're enjoying the results. Now, you can either enjoy that yourself, work for yourself, enjoy it yourself, but it won't be very popular. Because most people, being insecure, then if they think everybody is working for themselves, I'll be left out. Does that make sense? So only those persons who have a very strong ego, very confident, they could work on that basis because they don't care about what anybody else thinks or does. They're going to do whatever they like. Does that make sense? So what will make it popular, you know, and also it's not the nature of the soul. The soul does not actually function working for itself. It's not its position. The position of the soul is to work with it under the guidance of the Supreme. So then what is more in tune with their nature and what will be more broadly accepted by people in general is if people do good work, but that work is selfless. Right? Because if it's selfless, that means everybody has a chance to be happy. Right? If it's selfish, those who are more expert, they'll be happy, others will be left out. But if it's selfless, then everybody will get a chance because everybody's working for everybody. Does that make sense? So that becomes more popular, and it's more actually in tune with the nature of the soul. But what's not in nature of the soul is that you do good work and therefore you enjoy the results and God's left out of the whole equation. That's not natural, right? Does that make sense? So what's actually natural is that we're serving the Lord. So there's a problem. Now, because if we're just to enjoy, how is it we're enjoying? Because all we can see is material energy. We can't see someone beyond that. So therefore, the material energy will be the source of life, the source of knowledge, you know, the source of consciousness, and the source of your facility and your enjoyment. Therefore, if we respect the nature and we, and we do good for others, then in theory, then we should be able to be happy forever, right? Of course, birth, death, old age, and disease are not something that's so well covered by this philosophy, but, you know, hey, everybody's got some weakness, you know. You understand? So then, from following this, therefore you think that this is as good as it can get, because if you're doing it selfishly, because of the nature of the soul, there is that inherent idea that I should work for others. How are you both? How you go? When it's like one-on-one,